Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, good evening. This is L.A. Steele. And tonight we're going to venture into something that a little more difficult than, well, it has been difficult for me, but a little more difficult than we have been talking about lately. We're going to discuss the sacred geometry, and I'm going to read from the Flower of Life book that my good friend George Dixon passed on to me here for research, and I think we're ready for this, or we may be, or at least I'm ready to look into it, and I hope you will get something from this tonight. We've discussed so many issues, so many areas, the Agni Yoga series, and Ascended Masters, and Fourth Dimensional Ascension, and all of the, so many areas in the last year. But it's all coming together for me to some extent, and I think I hope for those of you who have been listening and following the works. Tonight, I'm going to, we have a very rare and special treat for you here. I'm going to attempt through the great words of Melchizedek, exactly what a sacred geometry plays such a major role in this, and how we can identify the different dimensions, how we identify ourselves through this process, and well, I'll begin, and we can stop and go as we decide. But please, if you have any questions or anything that you might add tonight, please feel free to call. Call in 646-915-9505 is the call number, and we'd be very pleased to have you join us. I'm going to open the chat room too, if you, for those of you who wish to call, use it. Again, we're going to be discussing the sacred geometry, right? And I hope that you can follow, and if you can, please let me know. Turn them open. Tonight's discussion is on sacred geometry. So, questions welcome. Sacred geometry. This is from the Flower of Life seminar transcripts, and I they best explain this complex concept better than anyone, I believe. So stay with me here, and as we begin. Sacred geometry. Music and the electromagnetic spectrum are holographic in nature. Between each one of the 12 notes, 8 white keys and 5 black keys, there are 12 harmonic points. These are called overtones. Between each of those 12 harmonic points are 12 more harmonic points, and you can keep on going down. The 12 by 12 are the 144 dimensional levels that people talk about. The 144,000 that the Bible refers to are the 1,000 cultures coming from each of the 144 different dimensional levels. Wherever a planet moves to another strata or existence, it is assisted by at least 144,000 different cultures. cultures. And those are the judges in the end time that the Revelation speaks about, 144,000. And this is an octave on the piano. If you had a long piano, you could keep going on up the octaves, or a symphony of life, if you will. The 13th note becomes the first note of the next octave. Each one of these points is an entire universe. The TV is the same kind of thing. When you change channels, you are tuning to a different wavelength transmission, which gives you a different image on the screen. Each note is separated by a 90-degree rotation factor. So if you tuned into the wavelength of another dimension, you would disappear out of the room you are in and reappear in that dimension just as real as you are in the present. What happens is that the image of your TV screen, which is looking out of your eyeballs, would just simply change to the wavelength you are tuning into in your consciousness. The ascended masters hang out on a 10th overtone of the 6th dimension at this time for this planet. The planet has other worlds here. They are all right in the room around you, but your consciousness has to be tuned to their wavelength in order for you to see them. And right now, most people are tuned to a very specific place, which they call home. They are locked in that consciousness level because they don't know how to get out. And the entire 13 notes contain such a large number of universes that they can never be counted in this dimension. They are not infinite, but almost. Do we interact on these levels, on these other levels? Definitely yes. A human being literally exists on all levels of existence. You and God are one, a way of looking identical. From this present consciousness, a person primarily exists only in the immediate octave where you are consciously aware. You might call this your superconsciousness at this point. This point is usually different for each person. But if you would pick the points which each person is tuned to, you would find that the one tuned to the different points in the octave would be harmonic to each other. Just like the chords on a piano, some people may know several chords. This is what a Melchizedek is. A Melchizedek is a consciousness level which exists in the 13th dimension, and it is simply anyone who passes through all 144 different dimensional levels and can remain conscious and can stay there. It is very easy to get to a dimension, but difficult to stay there. It's like scientists trying to bring in fourth dimensional elements. They can do it for a nanosecond, but they can't keep them here. There are certain places where a person exists as real as in the third dimension. You have bodies and everything there. It is really you. Are there two-dimensional forms in our octave? Yes, but not in the sense that you go from a third form to a flat surface. It's just a different wavelength. What keeps people out of these universes until they are ready to materialize there is the fact that experiencing each one of the 144 universes is completely different. We are sitting in the third dimensional level right now. Humanity and we are about to go one full step up. We are going to end up in the 10th, 11th, or 12th overtone of the fourth dimension. About ascending into another overtone, if you did go into another overtone beyond this one, you would know without any doubt that there are other worlds than this one, and that would then change you so completely that you are no longer locked into a certain one. You are totally aware that there are more, and it is more likely that you would be able to go on to another level. When people die in the third dimension, most of them go to about the third overtone in the fourth dimension, and then they cycle back through reincarnation. Reincarnation is about to come to an end. it has been necessary only for the last 13,000 years. It is not a normal thing. When you die, you usually go through at least the third overtone of the next dimension because the first and second overtones are usually disharmonic, consisting mostly of what the Hindus call the astral plane. On this astral plane, some very powerful thought forms have taken on a life form of themselves. Then, when you start going up from the fourth overtone, this is where what we call fairies live, earth and tree spirits, etc. The following translation from the video, there's a video that went with this. Humanity is going to make a straight jump all the way to the upper part of the fourth dimension. All people will just change wavelengths a certain way. When the fall occurred, mankind was in the 10th, 11th, and 12th overtone of the sixth dimension, where the masters are still residing. This is where the maximum expansion of consciousness has been achieved so far, with the exception of the three or four people who have managed to get into the seventh dimension. There are only 7 or 8 thousand masters still residing in the overtones of the sixth dimension where we fell from. The angelic realm starts at about the 7th, 8th, and 9th of the fourth dimension, and Christ consciousness is from the 10th through the 12th overtone of the fourth dimension, with the final step being into the 5th dimension. Drunvalo's instructions are to get humanity to the 10th, 11th, 12th overtones of the 4th dimension. But he is not sure that mankind will stay there very long. Each person will have to make their own conscious awareness of that. Mastery key. Mankind lives in a DNA molecule, so that the motions that would allow us to move into another dimension are timed, and there are only little windows of time opened up for a very short time. One of these is about to be opened very soon. We are preparing for it right now on a worldwide level. This will happen very quickly. In fact, almost everything that I know has been completed. We are ready right now, even if it happened today. The only thing that it is stopping it is now is the Spirit of God, and no one knows when God is going to make that move. But the window is open. But when it happens, it will happen so fast that you won't believe it, and your life will no longer be the same. And that's why so many lives are changing now. I believe we're here. Now, good evening, return viewer guys. Glad to meet you. But that's why life is changing now. We're from everything we've read and everything we've discussed over the last several years with George Dixon and with the Agni Yoga and with the other readings. It appears that everything is gearing up to that 2012 period. That window is beginning to open, and the changes are happening now, and we know that, and we feel them. We see the time speeding up. We see the world falling apart, going into chaos, and that was expected. That's part of the prophecy of the Mayan prophecy and many of the pagan prophecies, that stated that this would happen before the end time. The financial collapse would occur. Different things would occur, because what it signifies is the end of the old ways, the end of our ways of thinking, and it's not. I guess it's not really the concept of change that Obama was able to the concept that he was able to capitalize upon, that concept of change, is in all of us now, and we're all aware of the change and the need for change. And that is why I believe we're at this stage in our lives, and when all chaos is going around us, we have to hold on to something, and we have to understand something. And when knowing that there are millions, and I say millions now, of people coming from other dimensions, other planetary galaxies, coming to aid humanity, coming to aid us, and what Melchizedek is stating is that, and he is one of them, but there are millions, and I say millions upon millions of people that are descending through the vortex or through the Stargate to come to us to help us reach that level of ascension, which is to take place in 2012. So much is happening, and I'm going to continue here with that before, instead of going on, I'm going to continue the read here. About Solaire, whom Dunvalo knew as Lonnie and Taos, if that is one I'll have to change. This is difficult. I'm trying to go away from it. Make sense of this. Okay. This is his talking. He's talking to the people in his seminar. And he says, about Solaire, who DM knew as Lonnie in Taos, if that is the one, I'll have to change my thinking about all the stuff she's getting out. You see, there was a window opened in Egypt, and I had to go there twice. Both times it was between January 10th and January 19th, because there was a window open then that from an aspect of the Great Pyramids is like a time bomb, which opens at very specific times and can only be opened by moving in certain ways through certain temples during that time. And then in you can't get through those particular windows except in that way. The window begins to open on the 10th, is fully opened on the 11th of January, and remains open all the way through the 18th of January, slowly closing on the 19th. So all I knew about Solaire was that she had picked the first day the window was fully open. But then she might have just guessed at it. My guides were saying anything about it to me. They did tell me some things about this time, but it was clear, and years ago, it was years and years ago. We have entered into a very special time now. We are in the completion time. It happens every year, but this one, and this seminar actually took place in 1992. And I said, but this one in 1992 was unique. Toth, who we spoke about last in our last show, the author of the Emerald Tablets, and who also came to Dunvalo, Melchizedek, and taught him. For a number of months, and gave him great insights into what was to happen here. Uh, 1992 will be the most incredible year for change in our history, which I think is fascinating. I recall 1992 as a year of change, but it was a year of great change for me personally. But I remember it well. But I wasn't aware of this of John Below at that time, nor was I aware of ascension consciousness. Actually, I was a real estate and finance broker in 92. And but it's interesting, though, that he chose that year because that was the year of the first World Trade bombing. And if we are now correct, and I am talking about mostly the ascended masters, we now believe that every last person on the planet will go through ascension when the change takes place. Every last one of them, all of them, and they also believe that. Everybody that is now alive, this is their last life. You know, it's interesting that they say that. And it's interesting that it says this is your last life. Quite a number of years ago, maybe 10 years ago, I had a life reading by a lady who did it with cards. She was a card. She read life readings, and she told me that this was my last life. That I would not. That this was my last life, and that I'd been back here many, many times. But and she believed that there was actually. But she said, this is your last life. I thought that was interesting. And but it never really dawned on me. I never really knew how many lives I had until I went through a past life regression that I did, and I found I identified at least 10, all right? And I'm sure there were probably more, but that was all I could go through. I couldn't take it anymore. I kept seeing myself dying in each time. In that progression, I kept seeing my death in all these different periods. Some of them were very traumatic, let's see. Everybody that is now alive, this is their last life. You are either going to die and go through resurrection, or you are going to walk through with your eyes wide open. It is going to be very exciting. Either way, everyone is going to end up at the same place, so you can't lose, which is kind of nice to know that. Leonardo's drawing of man, and that's, if anybody's aware of Leonardo's famous drawing of the man with his arms stretched out and his legs stretched out, and it's a very famous drawing. Well, it has meanings, hidden meanings as well. And the lines show that the star tetrahedrons around people. This is the drawing, Leonardo's drawing. NASA is finding these star tetrahedrons around planets. We have been saying this for 5 or 6 years, but NASA is just now becoming aware of it. I remember this text was written in 1992. This shape will be found around everything, without exception. Anything that you can isolate will have this star tetrahedron around it, even down to atomic particles. That shape will be connected to another one, which is an octahedron, and to a cube, and on out to all these other shapes, which are spinning out to a circumference of about 55 feet around you. So you have this, which is called, I believe, the Merkaba, which I'll get into in a minute. But you have this energy, or these octahedrons and so on, spinning out to its circumference of about 55 feet around you. Now, Leonardo's shape of man is the key to understanding how to move from one dimensional level to another. The tube that runs right through the body has the male apex about a hand's length above the head, or the pineal gland, with the point facing forward for the males and facing backwards for the females. The female apex is about a hand's breadth below the feet, and the point will be in the front for the females and in the back for the males. The tube that runs right through the body in a straight line connects these two apexes together. The Merkaba breathing is through the tube, and the star tetrahedrons can be rotated at 9/10 the speed of light. Eventually, it will be right through the speed of light. And the sacred geometry of the Flower of Life course can be used to talk about anything. Even things like love and other emotions are geometrical forms. The shapes of emotions. Dan Winter and other researchers found that they could hook a person up to an electronic biofeedback unit connected to a computer, and each time a certain emotion was experienced, a certain sine wave, S-I-N-E wave, would appear on the computer screen. This was the same in all people. It was the emotion that was creating the sine wave, not the people. There was a very specific sine wave for hate, a very specific sine wave for love, jealousy, and all the other emotions. they got so good that they could tell what the person was feeling just by looking at the sine waves on the computer screen. Later, they discovered that when they put all these sine waves together, they formed a geometrical image. They had found what the geometry was behind the feeling of body. There are three identical fields superimposed over each other. The difference is that the physical body is locked. It cannot move except under certain circumstances. The mental body tends to rotate to the left. It is electrical in nature and is the male star tetrahedron. The one that rotates to your right is magnetic in nature and is the female. It is literally the emotional body. When these three things, the mind, the heart, and the physical body, are linked together in a very specific geometrical ratio, they produce the Merkaba. Curve ratios of the information levels of current events. By 1900, we had gathered a certain block of information which you could put into a computer and count, giving you certain numbers. By 1950, we had doubled the amount of information that it had taken in the past 6,000 years to accumulate. It was doubled again from 1950 to 1970. From 1970 to about 1980, we doubled it again. It's doubling so fast right now that NASA is about 8 years behind in getting all the information in the computers. They can't even get it in where they can use it. It's going too fast, an absolutely extraordinary situation. Again, this was in 1992, so we've gone so fast and gained so much knowledge just in the last 10 years. It's unbelievable. And 5 years. It's funny. We like to think that YouTube and Microsoft Word, if you will, these things are only like, these things are less than 10 years old. And YouTube is less than 5 years old. And things like that we take for granted. All these search engines and the internet and so on. Probably since 98, 99 is when they actually became commercially viable, and Yahoo and Google and all these other browsers came about, and the internet was born. Now it's just something that we take for granted. Even with the people on Earth, the population is doubling at a phenomenal rate. Everything is reaching a maximum level. Why didn't it happen 10,000 years ago, or a million years in the future? Why is it happening right now? Why is everything peaking out just at this time? By the year 2000, which of course this was written in 1992, we are going to reach total maximum, or all kinds of levels. There's something that needs to be noticed about our planet to understand what is happening. You are here. When we look at where we are in the universe, another question has to be asked, which is almost as important. It has to do with two motions. Number one, the precession of the equinoxes, the tilt of the planet in relation to its orbit around the sun. Our planet is in a wobble configuration, and our axis changes its position about 1 degree every 72 years. But every 2160 years, it changes viewpoint of about one constellation, or about every 25,920 years, we make one full wobble of this whole precession of the equinoxes. This has a tremendous impact upon the consciousness of people on the Earth. There is a smaller wobble called the Chandler wobble, which our governments are right now completely freaked out about, plus another completely different wobble. There is a 46,000-year tilt that takes place along with this wobble effect. It is called the Felicity Angle and has been recognized in ancient sites where alignment with the tilt of the Earth within certain degrees can prove the time that they were constructed. But the one that is the most important is this precession, which wasn't even known about until 3 years ago. It is incredibly important to us. I have to go out into space to describe it. Not out this far, which is a photograph of the quasar, but notice the eight lines coming out of the central disk of light. There are eight lines that come out of a central disk of light. This is its Merkaba, and it is so big that our galaxy would just be a dot in it. But to this one of a nebula, in order for you to understand this other wobble on the galactic level, this nebula is a floating star and is probably much closer than you think. If you go to the center, which is a sphere of suns, there is a white light line that is rotating out from the central nucleus. Then if you go another 180 degrees, you will notice another white light arm spiraling out from the center. Astronomers, until more or less recently, believed that what you saw was what you got. But now they are realizing that what they can see is nothing compared to what is really there. They have also discovered that there is another field of energy at 90 degrees to this, coming out and spiraling around, another one of black light energy coming out 90 degrees to the first one. In fact, the spaces of black energy have different energies. Stars are like people. When they reach different ages, they rotate in different energy patterns. Our sun star is on the edge of the galaxy and moving up one arm, but we are also moving around in orbit, which moves from white light to black light to white light to black light. It is in these dark parts of the spirals where the birth and death processes are supposed to begin. That's where these nebula blow up, in between these two spirals. So when a star is passing through one of these black light zones and blows up, the gases from its explosion become little baby stars. This is true of this Crab Nebula and the middle star of the belt of Orion. The star blew up, and there are about 200 stars being formed from the explosions there. The ways that stars are formed happens to be identical to the meditation for the Merkaba. It's exactly the same. See Scientific American Issue as a magazine that he refers to. The actual steps are the same, but there are also another process moving in. They believe that a black hole is in there, and that's about six stars a year have to fall into the black hole to keep this whole thing, creation on a cosmic scale, alive. Hey, excuse me one second. Being disturbed just by very, very, very loud television. Our sun and our planets are rotating around the whole nebula. We need to be aware of all the wobbles, rotating patterns, and movements that are a part of our universe. They have also discovered that the solar system is also going through space in a spiral. It gets more. I'm reluctant to go further on this right now because I'm afraid I may lose some of you here, but let me continue, and if you have any questions, please note either in the chat room or give us a call. So we need to see what we are connected to that causes this spiral rotation. Our destiny with Sirius. with Ceres. The Earth does not rotate around the Sun in a flat plane, but it moves forward with the Sun as it hurls through space. The Earth's moon is also rotating around the Earth as it moves with the Sun. Scientists started looking for another body to which we were attached. Over a long period of time, they calculated it down to a certain area of the constellations. Then, as they got more and more sophisticated, they narrowed the search down to a few stars. About 4 years ago, they got it down to three stars, and today they know that it is one star, and that star is Sirius, S-I-R-I-U-S, or Sirius A. Our solar system is moving through space in a spiraling motion with Sirius A. This was figured out by an Australian astronomer, and this motion is supposed to be identical with the DNA molecule. Our own motion through space is the same as our solar system. All are connected in the creation process. So we have a destiny with Sirius, and it is, and as we move together with Sirius, our consciousness unfoldment happens. Our genes are placed on the DNA module so that only at certain times can certain things happen for us as humans. So certain alignments that happen between the Sun, the Earth, Sun, Sirius, and the rest of the cosmos are keyed. And there is one of these specific alignments that is happening now, although another one is happening simultaneously, which in some ways is affecting us more directly than the first one. I wanted to mention to you how things are changing. Now, of course, the star Sirius has been around forever, but if you can recall, anyone can recall right now, they probably have their own satellite radio, which is Sirius and XM, but Sirius radio. And it's interesting that to note that now, as we come closer and closer and closer to the time of this moment of ascension into the fourth dimension, that these names that we are linking to are becoming prominent in our lexicon, in our modern vocabulary and corporate vocabulary, if you will. But we're hearing this. Many people know Sirius Radio. They know it. I mean, people you'd never suspect would know the word Sirius. Oh yeah, that's the satellite radio. So what I'm saying is that so many things are interconnected with this process of ascension, that first we have to become aware of it. We have to be, you know, for those who are not, what we have to do is we have to be make ourselves aware that there is a great, great consciousness out there that is preparing itself for this ascension. Prior to these works, actually, of Drunvalo, and these understandings of this of these workshops, if you will, and other works that are out there. Prior to that, in the 1970s and 1980s, we had the surge of Christian evangelism, all right? Also the surge of fundamentalist religions. And the fundamentalist religions were all preparing for what? For the revelation, for the end times, for the final day, you know? Because even though those religions based their prophecy was based upon obscure teachings, not unlike what we're teaching tonight. They were all from, you know, I believe they were all from some form of achieving Christhood, okay, or teachings toward Christhood, in Judaism, in the Kabbalah, it was the higher man, and so on. And then in Christianity, it was the Christ-like way. And in Muhammad, or in Islam, it was the Quran and the ways of Muhammad that he taught. And so, but each one taught this same prophecy of the end times, and that we would know when these times were coming. But putting all the voodoo and hoodoo aside, all right, and my religion's better than your religion, and so on and so forth, putting all that aside, let's come down to our to these particular works of Melchizedek, and what he's saying is that we are on an ascension path, right? We are moving faster and faster and faster than ever before in history, and we're coming to our destiny. We're coming to the end of our not spiritual but physical existence, and moving on with our spiritual lives, with our spiritual existence, into the fourth dimension. And then, of course, into the fifth and sixth and so on, which is the ongoing evolution of the human spirit. And we will be there. And it went, and earlier I mentioned that we were actually at one time in the sixth dimension, and we took a fall back into the third. And now we're about ready to ascend again after so many millions of years. But again, I didn't mean to get off the subject, but I meant to talk more about Sirius and the star Sirius, and the direction, and what we'll soon be receiving signs and receiving channelings and receiving the Sirius frequency, if you will. And I think that's interesting. Not that, Sirius radio is simply a very weak signal of a very weak human concept of entertainment. But with the signal that we will soon be receiving from Sirius is the signal of ascent. And these people, and this is where we're connected to these to Sirius. They are so we have a destiny with Sirius, and as we move together with Sirius, our consciousness unfoldment happens. Our genes are placed on the DNA module, so that only at certain times can certain things happen for us as humans. So certain alignments that happen between the Earth, the Sun, Sirius, and the rest of the cosmos are keyed, and there is one of these specific alignments that is happening now, although another one is happening simultaneously, which in some ways is affecting us more directly than the first one. They have discovered that the entire galaxy is enclosed in a sphere, and that a lot of loose stars are contained inside of this sphere. Outside of that, there is a huge grid, another sphere immense in size. This is what happened to you, a sphere within a sphere with a physical body inside it. This same thing is around every person on the planet now. We also have a sphere around our whole solar system. We are encased in an eggshell, a physical solid eggshell made up of asteroids that are in a perfect sphere around us, that move with us. Each planet has a sphere around it, but Earth's is about 444,000 miles out. Infrared photography of a galaxy. The shape looks just like a flying saucer. It is a heat envelope which surrounds it. What we found on our computer screen is that this is the exact shape of the Merkaba when it pops out around you. 55 feet in diameter. It extends into space about 150,000 miles. If you do it in a group, When two or more come together, you can create a very different kind of Merkaba, which extends 1.6 million miles into space. It also has a very different potential from an individual one. And that's a fascinating thing, because, of course, he states Christ's statement, which was when two or more come together in my name, for instance, in the name of truth, in the name of light, in the name of righteousness, in the name of Christhood, if you will, goodness, and so on. When two people come together, you create a dynamic that exceeds all individual, achievement, because now you have the force of two people bonded together around one idea, one goal. And when a husband and wife, or a partnership, or when two, or just two friends get together and create some dynamic idea, all the greatest inventions in the world were came up by some group think, you know. So of course, what happens is that bonding of two individuals or two minds explodes. It's like a supernova of energy that goes forward. And he's stating that it has an effect of 1.6 million miles around. So, I mean, that's amazing. All right. That's the power of working together. And you can imagine the power around a community. You know, okay, around many people thinking together, working together toward the same goal. And this, of course, leads us toward the goal of ascension, and why so many people today are aware or seeking that path of, you know, higher self, and have been for, you know, for many, many years. True Christ consciousness cannot really happen with one person. It requires two or more, but once it happens, you transcend beyond you-ness, and a unity consciousness, when it happens, extends everywhere. But there are levels of unity consciousness beyond that. The guide told me that I had to teach the original, that I had to teach the original mathematics of how to do that, group Merkabas. And I gave three workshops on it, but I found that people were not ready for at all. So I am just waiting for the time when it feels right. You have to first learn how to do the individual one, and really know how to do that one. Then you have to pull 10, 11, or 12 people together to do this. But the people who take part in this become like a married body. You can't just come together a few times and do it. You will be bonded. Just come together a few times. You will be bonded together for a long time. I haven't seen this yet, but we know how to do it. We will just have to wait for the right time. All UFOs are based on Merkaba technology. They do it through a counter-rotating field. They use a slightly different mathematics in slightly different ways, including the cigar-shaped ones, are UFOs, which are just extended Merkabas. There are billions and billions of galaxies, and all of them have this envelope around them. And they're all moving through space at these incredible speeds. They are all going somewhere, and they are living beings. They are alive, just like you and me. They are alive with such unbelievable consciousnesses that we can't even dream of them. And they are all in communication with each other, have been for a long time. And this whole system of planets and stars and suns is totally organized and totally aware of itself, and has been for billions and billions and billions of years. And we are just now being allowed to come into that consciousness. In a certain way, we too are on a ship and are going somewhere, along with the entire universe. In this galaxy, there are about 80,000 other planets that are at about the same level of problem that we are in. The problem was the result of the Luciferian rebellion, the result of one man who happened to be a very high person at that time. Jacob Lieberman's book, Light Medicine of the Future. Lieberman used to teach at DM school. He used to teach on the Olympic team with us. He could take anything in any sport and make them out about twice as good in a couple of days. He learned this from some old man in Oregon. He would put people on a 6-foot trampoline. He would have a chart for them to look at. The chart would have lines of arrows drawn randomly and in various colors. He would have you jump and circle your hands at the same time. He would have you read the arrows in sequence. He might ask you to read the color or every other arrow. Then he might have you read the direction of the arrow along with its color. Then he might ask you to read every third one after you have rotated it 90 degrees. Then he might say to read every fourth one by reading the 90 degrees in the opposite direction. He keeps doing this until you have about 40 things and you don't think any human being could possibly do it. But I have done it. I have seen it done. He tells you to just get there, to get up there and turn your brain off. Don't think, just do it. I saw him tell one person to do a very complex series of things made up around something like Mary had a little lamb, and then told him to turn around and with his back to the chart, repeat the entire thing, but do it backwards. He did it perfectly, and I have seen him have an entire room doing this. So he gets skiers going down slopes at 120 miles an hour with their minds turned off, just going through the motions and breathing in harmony. So there's a way that we can overcome our fear and our skepticism and our cynicism toward this. Just by turning your mind off, turning our minds off to all of that, and just going blank. And in this, they teach mantras, and they teach breathing techniques that help us create the Merkabas. And in that Merkaba, we just move along. We just move toward the next step, almost unconsciously. We just in that Merkaba, in our own spacecraft, if you will, moving to the next fourth dimension, to fifth dimension, and moving to the next height of consciousness, and around anywhere we want to go, essentially. I'm reminded of an old essay by Ralph Waldo Emerson, where he states that in his self-reliance essay, he states that we are our own everything, basically. We're self-sufficient. We're a self-sufficient creation. And our dependencies are basically weaknesses that we develop, but primarily to survive and to get along and to the average individual is really an independent being. And I think about this because that was written about 200 years ago, and he wasn't talking about the Merkaba so much. He didn't ever mention that. But he was talking more about man's innate ability and unique ability to transform his self to whatever he wishes to become, based upon his own mind, his own imagination, his own will to force that into existence. And it's no different than this Merkaba, if you will, and human. We have great faith. Those who have faith in humanity will see this through. We have faith in ourselves. We have faith in our friends. We have faith in humanity. And believe it or not, to plot it one step further or clarify it one step further, that is the altruistic meaning of liberalism. Liberalism means to believe in the good of mankind. You can look it up in the Webster's Dictionary. That's the exact meaning. Oddly enough, conservatism is the direct opposite, which is the belief in the bad, and the believing bad of mankind, and not trusting mankind. But liberalism believes in the best of mankind, trusting mankind in the sense that he will eventually ascend to that higher level. And he can only do that through liberal concepts and liberal ideals. There's no conservatism when it comes to ascension. None whatsoever. It's all or nothing, folks. Put it all there. Put it all out there. All your faith, all your willpower to try to focus in on that unique moment of ascension that we're talking about here. How it will be. We're just about out of time. We have about 4 minutes left. I want to thank Return Viewers Guide for staying with us all this time. We appreciate your coming with us and on this journey. And and anyone else out there who's joined us tonight, I will refer you to a couple of. You may want to look up, if you're not familiar with the terms I've been using tonight, please look up Merkaba. Merkaba, you just go to Google it up, and it's M-E-R-K-A-B-A, Merkaba. And it'll tell you more or less where we're headed. If you want to look up any of this information, much of it, I believe, is online. Probably you can go to, just put up, Drunvalo, Drunvalo, Melchizedek, and you'll be amazed at the information that comes up on it. But I want to thank George Dixon, a good friend, and please for lending me this work, the Flower of Life Workshop transcripts. And please join us tomorrow night when we have when George and I and Lila will be talking about this and other mysteries. We generally talk about the Mayan calendar since we're entering. And George has has a specific timeline that we're in now. And we're, of course, in the sixth night, or the sixth day of the galactic period. So we've only got a couple more years left before time runs out on us. And time has run out tonight, and I want to thank you again for being with us, and have a pleasant evening. Good night.